You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Mark Anderson, who is still in Austria, still hunting down the Bilderbergs. Today's their last day, and Mark has some information, some updates that I'm sure the listeners are going to be very excited to hear about. The last time we spoke, Mark, was yesterday at about 6 in the morning Central Time. Now it's about 1:30 p.m. Central Time, so why don't you tell the listeners what happened in the last 30-something hours?
The day started with the Bilderbergers. Once again, it's sort of puzzling, leaving their meeting very early on a Sunday. We went back to the Innsbruck airport where we first caught them, Eric Schmidt of Google included, coming in on Thursday, June 11. And they're tearing out of there today, one car after another, because they're rushing out of here at 9 o'clock now, partially because we're generating so much publicity, I believe. They used to have a Monday breakfast, and they wouldn't leave till Monday. At some point, as Jim Tucker turned up the European media heat, and probably other factors we don't know about came into play, they canceled their Monday breakfasts and began leaving Sundays. They were leaving at like 6 p.m., 5 p.m., maybe 5-6 years ago. Then they were leaving at 3 p.m., then 2 p.m. Switzerland 2011, they were out of there by noon, and they were out of there by 9 a.m. this morning, one car right after another at Innsbruck Airport. Mm-hmm. So they have more and more topics and less time to do it. This time I had my own camera in hand, as well as my Swiss We Are Change assistants. And we got Klaus Kleinfeld. In fact, I photographed him myself, the Alcoa guy whose business roundtable is busy lobbying Congress for the transatlantic partnership. So Klaus showed his face, and Robert Rubin of the CFR got his photo myself. There were Turkish officials that me and others photographed. They were really getting out of town in a big hurry, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands. So Jim Tucker, the predecessor at AFP for me, would always get to the Bilderberg Hotel before and or after their meeting. And upon entering the hotel, I was immediately thrown out. The manager wanted no explanation and wanted no discussion. He acted like he knew who I was, and he threatened me with arrest, and I was thrown out immediately. Even though the police let us through, they said it was open to the public again for drinks or dinner. There were other people in the bar and one alternative reporter who got there a little bit before I did. And the only reason he was there before me was because he had a room. They made him cancel his room and threw him and his luggage out.
Well, I mean, your mug is all over the internet, so.
I suppose that's it. Without hyperanalyzing exactly how this came about, I've never been treated so rudely. It was really nasty. I asked him what laws I had broken. He kept saying there's nothing to discuss. You just have to get out. He did seem to know kind of who I was. Maybe they had some printouts of certain people to look for. I don't know. He didn't say. It looked perfectly legal. Some businessmen from Colorado had landed there. They weren't thrown out. So they were looking for certain people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just my really insignificant experience with these type of organizations. I remember when I went to the Disabled American Veterans hearing when they wanted to throw me out, and I pulled into the hotel there in Arlington and got out of my car and right in the, you know, those semicircle type driveways and hotels. And there were a couple of DAV characters who weren't in the executive line, just members attending the conference. And they stared, they knew exactly who I was. So they hand this stuff out, Bilderberg especially, they hand this stuff out well beforehand, so I wouldn't be surprised if they had some kind of a dossier on you and handed it out to all the members, say, if you see this guy with a hat and a beard, steer clear. And of course, instructing the staff to do what they did to you.
The guy that threw me out was the main manager. He had this air of authority. I was pretty pissed. The last thing I told the guy is, you will make the news, sir. We're going to find his name, we're going to find his mug, and make sure that the anti-free speech hotel owner at least will know who he is. I really felt bad that a fellow Michigander, I'm originally from Michigan, had to cancel his room. Our Euros are just as shiny as the next guy's, but it felt good to get back down the hill, back to normal land where normal people are. We're walking from this golf course the back way up the hill to get to the Bilderberg Interalpen Hotel. They should just rename it the Bilderberg Hotel while they're at it. And police security tape closing off the woods, cages put alongside the woods, metal fencing all throughout the woods and along these walkways. My goodness gracious, you'd think these people, you'd think every one of them was a king or a queen. You'd think every one of them was a dignitary whose bloodline goes back 10,000 years. And the police at the airport, if we got one inch too close trying to take a photo, they would put their hands on me and the others and push us back. You would think somebody that runs a corporation was literally blood royalty. I mean, I kept telling the cops, these are just businessmen. They're not heads of state. And then I would make comments like, or are they?
Even if they were heads of state, they shouldn't be treated any differently. They are there to serve us. They keep forgetting that.
Oh, they forget it real easy. I don't want to go into public police being converted into private security services, but that's what's happened.
Speaking about cops, of course, there's reports that there were 2,000, 2,100, 2,200 cops there. Do you have any idea how many were there? Any verifiable information?
No, the exact numbers, no, I don't. If I get a chance, maybe I can get a hold of City Hall tomorrow and ask them. But this is all typical of what I describe as the big Bilderberg imprint, their footprint. As soon as they set foot here, normal life goes away. No longer can a normal guy go in a bar and have a drink. Everything is supposed to bend to their will, their wishes, their perception of reality. Me and other media people have been talking. We've never seen such hypersensitivity. The mere fact that I showed my face in there when the Bilderbergers were long gone, we presume, throwing me out of that hotel like I'm something on the bottom of their shoe when they've had war criminals in there, such as Henry Kissinger, including this year. So who is the Hotel Interalpen? Who are they to define who the rogues are, who the bad guys are?
Any pictures of you getting tossed?
No, the photo environment was bad, very dark in there. They didn't get physical with me. Had I resisted, they would have. No one was ready for that. My own camera was tucked away. The lighting was terrible. It wouldn't have worked anyway.
So you basically walked into the hotel, right? Right. And so how far did you get past the door before they accosted you?
About 75 to 100 feet through the main lobby into another set of doors where the bar is. This Michigan freelance reporter greeted me. He recognized me. I said, oh, you beat me here, dude. He's like, well, that's because I'm staying here. And I said, oh, whatever. He goes, I'll buy you a drink. We talked for about 60 seconds, went, sat down, began to have a beverage. I got about 3 sips into my beverage, got a tap on my shoulder, and it went from there. So I was there all of 5 minutes.
What happened to the drink?
He wouldn't let me finish it, but he didn't charge me for it.
This guy who manhandled you.
He only touched my shoulder a little bit. He didn't get real physical, but he was yelling very, very loudly. It caused quite a scene. I didn't get his name, but from what I gathered, he was the general manager of the hotel.
And he was yelling at you?
Oh, yeah, big time.
What exactly was he saying?
He kept saying, I'm going to ask you to leave, sir. And I'd said, well, on what grounds? And you're simply not welcome here. I'm going to ask you to leave. I said, well, the police let me in. If those already invited or whatever were not supposed to be here, why didn't the police stop me from coming in? No discussion. You have to leave. He kept saying that. There's nothing to discuss. Take your drink. Leave it here. You don't have to pay for it. Now you go or I'll have you arrested. Whatever reason they had, whatever dossiers they may have had on me or anyone else, it just shows this notion that these Bilderbergers are supposed to be the untouchables. They can be like Don Adams on Get Smart, and they can go under the dome of silence. They can be public.
That's the cone of silence.
The cone of silence, excuse me. Thank you.
Yeah, well.
Thank you. That public officials and along huddling with top corporate people and top bankers can go off the grid of their normal public service, off the grid of their normal goings on, and go under the cone of silence, and that's okay.
Right. That's the whole point about Bilderberg. The problem is that if these elitists want to meet, fine, go meet, do whatever you want. Nobody's going to bother you. But when the mainstream media is so conspicuously absent over all these decades, over 6 decades, and when public officials, some popularly elected officials, attend these secret meetings and nothing is done, that's the problem.
Yeah, and U.S. elected officials, though they are on the decline, do still go. A lot of them are former U.S. officials, such as Robert Zoellick, the former head of the World Bank. He was once the U.S. Trade Representative, a federal employee. I photographed him today, as did others. He was leaving. You have Rory Stewart, a British MP. You have George Osborne, high up in the British government. You have the guy with the unfortunate name, Ed Balls, another elected British official there. Britain and a number of foreign MPs and MEPs are on the rise there, even as American elected officials or appointed officials are on a slight lesser number. But it varies. We expect them to meet in America next year. That's virtually certain, and that you'll probably see an uptick in the American attendance.
Why? Because of the election?
Yeah, and just the fact when they're in the States, there tends to be a few more from the U.S. When they were in the States in Virginia 2012, Peter Orszag was there as a White House official. I believe he was the Office of Management and Budget Director for the White House, and he was there.
Wow. They're just brazen. They're bold. I wish that somebody would have filmed what happened to you. I think that if your interaction was filmed, that would have been something that went viral. Is there any way we can reenact it? Can you do it again?
wasn't one enough.
No, seriously. I'm sure the camera guy's there. Tell him, let's go back to the hotel. Go in, get thrown out. Get it on film this time. Can you do that?
I don't know, Dave. I don't want to make promises like that. It's not easy to get up there. It's way up a mountain. It's a very circuitous route. You almost get motion sickness going up there because you're going up these curves. If I did, it would be in the morning, maybe.
Cool.
I mean,
do it again. Get thrown out again, but this time get it on film. Mark Anderson out in Telfs, Austria, reporting on Bilderberg 2015, which is already broken up, and all these elitists are heading home. Mark, thanks for the great update, and if we don't talk to you again while you're in Austria for another update, if you have some information, then have a safe flight, and we'll see you here in the good old US of A.
Great being on here again, Dave. We'll wrap it up soon and see what facts we can finalize.